time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Should be a short video. Yeah, it should be. But maybe it won't be. We'll see how it goes. So I have to do the experiment. I'll videotape it and try to get some sort of real numbers. But the idea is that you drop something, okay, on a scale. So we'll represent a scale. And, you ascertain its weight. But the idea is if you drop something, then you're getting its weight plus its gravity. So if you can get the scale to go twice the amount that you know the thing weighs, all right, so it has a known weight, let's just say 100, and you drop it and you get it to 200, okay, in terms of its weighing 200, well, you know that effectively, right, to double the mass, you have to go four times higher. I mean, to double the amount of weight or momentum. I mean, I'm sort of arguing that weight and momentum are the same thing. And so in gravity, you can deduce that, okay, this is to double it. So if, let's say I drop it 1 centimeter, that's what I found, it's about 1 centimeter, the weight doubles. So the gravitational weight would have to be, you know, 1/4 of that number, so 0.25. And then doing some figuring, calculating backward from 9.8 meters per second and the fact that you're only really traveling 4.9 meters when you acquire that velocity, blah, 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 blah. You know, in miles per hour, it ends up being 0.35 miles per hour, which doesn't seem very much, you know. So that's the number that gravity's producing. So if I move something at 0.35 miles an hour sideways, right, so that's the idea. Yeah, you can probably still see that, right? So I want to move something sideways into the scale and get it to weigh its weight. Okay, so let's say it weighs 100 pounds, and I want it to read 100 pounds on the scale. The idea would be is I just have to move it 0.35 miles per hour. Okay, the other numbers are, in meters, it's like 0.1, 0.1 something, 0.18, yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's it should be 0.25 because it's supposed to be 2 millimeters, right? So that number can't be quite right. Yeah, I don't know why it is. That is curious. 0.18. All right. Well, anyway, I can worry about that later. I mean, the difference between 0.25 and 0.28 isn't all that big, so we'll just say that for the sake of it. Anyway, so it's not very fast. You know, pretty slow speed, it seems to me. And then if I, you know, wanted to find how to double the weight, then I would just, you know, take this number and make it four times bigger, right? How come my numbers don't match that? Yeah, anyway. Jesus, it's always something, right? Just, yeah, 0.7, that's only a doubling. I'll have to think on that one. Anyway, oh yeah, you're doubling the speed. That's, yeah, we're talking about speeds, not distance. It's at this point. So yeah, you double the speed, you double its momentum, you double its weight. So that actually does make sense. Yeah. So it'd be 0.39 meters per second to double it, and 0.7 miles per hour to have, say, 150-pound person would, weigh 300 pounds if I can get them to 0.7 miles per hour. That's hard to say how fast that is. Anyway, the whole point is that these seem very logical experiments that should have been done by science, right? I mean, this doesn't seem like a huge reach, you know, in terms of recognizing that, you know, gravity is creating a pressure, and that's really all that you're talking about when you're measuring something's weight, is its pressure. And it's not going to matter whether it's gravity causing it or some other mechanism. And the only difference is that the gravity is a constant force. So you'll compress the spring and keep it compressed, where something that has traveling motion doesn't have any force to be able to maintain a weight or a pressure. So it just shows you what its pressure is on the spring, and then the spring pushes back. It uses the energy, stores the energy, and then restores the energy, because it doesn't keep the energy. Unless you have a lock or something, and you lock it, and then you can keep the energy, you can store it. But anyway, it's one little burst of energy. It's an amount, it's an impulse, let's say. And they don't make a great distinction between these things at all. Constant forces, things constantly pushing, constantly supplying energy, and things that just carry energy because of their velocity. And that's all they have. They just have a velocity. They don't have a force actively acting on them anymore. The force acted on them, the explosion, for example, the gun bullet. The bullet has a certain amount of energy in its motion, and that's all it has. It doesn't have gravity constantly pushing it into a spring. So whatever you measure of its energy, that's all it has. It has just the impulse pressure. Once that pressure is used to do work, then, you're done. And the key point is finding mechanisms to measure that. So obviously it's hard to measure the weight of a bullet, a speeding bullet, because most springs can't move fast enough, and they'll just break. So they won't be able to, it's hard to make a mechanical device that can collect the energy in one mechanism, one reliable mechanism. So, you could talk about ways of doing that, right? Because if the bullet was made out of steel, theoretically, you could shoot it into a coil, and maybe collect all of its energy as electrical potential. And, iron, because there's a correlation between the movement and how much electricity you can create moving it through a magnetic field. But who knows how perfect that is? Nobody's done the science on that either. How efficiently do you transfer the energy that you're using to move a magnet near a coil? How much exactly of the motion is actually converted into electricity? Can't be that bad, because we use it all the time. A motor creates energy somewhere, turbine, and then the electricity is transferred somewhere, and that's sort of interference. We know we lose some transferring it, but that when we put it back in another motor, it does pretty well, so it's pretty efficient. That's sort of a side subject, but it's really the subject in the sense that these are the experiments I would think would be ones that had been done already. They're not too technically difficult, and they say so much about how pressure works and how things interact, and clearly making the distinction between constant forces, things pushing constantly, constantly adding more energy, and things not doing that. So it's even like when you're using a lever. See, that I was thinking, because these numbers come out pretty high. If you drop a weight, any physical object, you drop it 1 meter, you're talking about, what did I come up with, 2400 or something. You're talking like a 60 times the, 60 times, it's not that much. I should finish my notes. It's a lot increase in the amount of pressure. So a lever's doing the same thing, right? You're moving further and further out on the lever. So say if you have a 10-to-1 ratio in your lever, you could be applying, because you're using your weight on one side, pulling down. So you're providing a pressure of, say, 100 pounds. And on the other end, you're ending up with 4,000 pounds of lifting pressure. But you're applying the pressure constantly, which allows it to be a constant force, so it can actually do work over a sustained amount of work. It doesn't just provide a little push and that's it. So that's the great thing about springs, is they take, you know, small amounts of energy can show themselves. You don't need a constant force to push them, because they're rather efficient in collecting the energy. And they collect it because, you know, the spring is basically dampening the effect. So this, when you drop something on the spring here, barely feels it as it's compressing. And it takes quite a while for this surface to know that this is actually dropped on it. The pressure is being absorbed by the compression of the spring, so this doesn't really feel it down here. You don't feel anything until the spring has completed, you know, until it equalizes, until the pressure, you know, the pressure reaches the base of the spring, essentially, I guess. I mean, you could argue it has to get somehow, it has to travel through the spring, but it takes time. So the spring is showing you how long it takes before the pressure pushes back into the earth. It's a delay before the earth pushes back, you could argue. So the earth doesn't know you're imposing on it, because the spring is allowing there to be a delay in you knowing that something's imposing on it. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it. So the spring just slows down the process of the pressure being affecting the ground. So it's not until the pressure gets to the ground that the ground can push back up and equalize. And so it kind of, you know, it allows you to see how much, it gives you some indication, okay, of what you're really going to impose eventually on the earth. Yeah, it lets you see it because it slows the whole process down. It's one way of looking at it. I mean, the reason why springs are useful is because they just slow it down. But because this is a constant force, right? That's the key thing. Because it's a constant force, it'll reach a state that says, okay, so you dropped 100 pounds. It's still going to reach 100 pounds eventually, because it's just going to oscillate and go back to 100 pounds as your final answer. But all of that oscillation is telling you how much it really does weigh in terms of how much you collected while you dropped it. And you're just waiting for friction to ruin all of that. I mean, it would oscillate forever if there was no friction. And it would oscillate at the total energy that you dropped it at, the free fall energy. Yeah. All right. So I'll think if there's anything else. I'm just saying this is the reason why, I guess, this isn't done. I don't know. It's because I guess people are just so lost in, you know, what they believe, that it doesn't even occur to them to check something like momentum and weight and see if you can find a perfect correlation between them. You know, and that this is all the same stuff. Pressure, weight, momentum, it's all the same thing. And there's no room for this mv squared thing anywhere in here. 1/2 mv squared doesn't make this make any sense at all. It doesn't make the universe make any sense. But they're so lost in it that they don't even, doesn't even occur to them to do these experiments. That's the part that's sort of amazing. I mean, I have to say, it didn't occur to me until it occurred to me. Okay, I mean, until I thought about the correlation between weight and momentum, and the simple truth that, you know, all you're really saying is how much pressure you're applying. So you just turn the gravitational free fall into linear. You know, take gravity out of the equation, and you can just see what the mechanism really is. Yeah. Anyway, well, we'll see if there's anything else. Oh, okay, I should point out that the 0.35 number sort of correlates to, like, say if you made the velocity and gravity a 1 to make momentum equal, the momentum number to equal your weight. So for the momentum number to equal your weight, your mass, you need mass times velocity of 1. So the 0.35 would be telling you basically that your 3 times the momentum number is your actual weight. Yeah. So if you just multiply momentum times 3, you have the weight. Right? Yeah, maybe. So I have to think through that one just to make sure that works consistently. But it certainly works in gravity. It works for the 1 part. Yeah, it would work. Pretty sure. Anyway, I have to check that. But just throwing it in there. That it would be better if their constants were based on getting... If momentum was actually a number that was more coherent by making it pretty much, it could just follow the weight number. Your weight and your momentum and your pressure should all be the same number, is what I'm saying. Is they technically are the same thing, so I think they should have the same units. Units that create the fact that they should all come out the same. With the same number without having the units connected to different standards. So it should all be the same standard, and then it would be kind of obvious how the physics works, because pressure would be the same number as weight, would be the same number as momentum. Alright, so I'm distracted by the fact that I'm thinking about why these experiments haven't been done, because they seem so... why wouldn't they do this? And especially with high-speed cameras now. So, a simple experiment is just, you take an object, you move it at a velocity, 10, okay, whatever. And you plow it into a spring, and you see how much the spring is compressed. And then you move it at 20, and you do the same thing, and just see how much the spring is compressed. And if it's twice as much, it's twice the weight, it's twice the momentum. Yeah, it's twice the pressure. And so you've established the connection and pretty much debunked any idea of 1/2 mv². So it is surprising that there's no, if the results don't come out that way, then that should be news. That would be news for mv². It would be a piece of evidence. But why hasn't the experiment been done? It's just so... obvious, this would be something worth knowing, worth seeing. They have so many experiments doing the spring constant, where they just change the weight on a spring and oscillate it, which doesn't tell you much. Just tell you so much more what it's, dropping it from different heights and seeing how much the spring compresses. Just surprising that none of this has been documented. It'd be very interesting to see, 10 miles an hour, 11 miles an hour, 12 miles an hour, 13 miles, to see each one and see what it does to the spring. It would just be it'd just make this idea of weight and pressure more easily visualized, because you would actually have something to connect it to in the real world. A piece of evidence. Anyway, just surprises me in contemplating it that it hasn't occurred to anyone to document something so basic. Surprising. Broken. Anyway, I don't know if it's recording. You can't do anything extra on this thing. It says paused. Recording now. Alright, I don't know. Anyway, I guess that has to be the end of the video, because the recorder isn't working. So, end of the video and such.